Each one of us has received from God a very precious gift. And that gift is called life. I was reading in my Bible reading calendar this morning, Genesis chapter number 2. And a matter of fact, I think tonight, in a little bit, we'll be in that one too, from the New Testament. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." And so God has given us a very precious gift, and that gift is life. Each one of us here has life that we've been given, no matter how long ago that was, some more, some less, but a precious gift. Now, we measure our lives by time, don't we? We're talking about time. It's January 1st, 2023. Thank you for joining us on Facebook Live. Has anybody watched that thing? All right, I'm glad you're here. Just keep coming, okay? But anyways, we measure our life by time. And time is assessed by seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, years, centuries, and millennia. Does God keep track of time? We keep track of time, right? We have time clocks that we go. We have watches. I still wear a watch. We have clocks and, you know, different digital things that we use, right? We have calendars. And does God keep track of time? Is God really interested in something as small as time? I want you to think about what the Bible says. The Bible says over in Revelation chapter 8 and verse number 1, when we get to that point out in the future, the Bible says that there was silence in heaven for about the space of half an hour. Well, that's a measurement of time, isn't it? So God keeps track of time. We have a measurement in the Bible that God is paying attention to time. There's a half an hour of silence. You know, I love the account in the Bible where Hezekiah is sick. And Isaiah the prophet comes to Hezekiah and he says, "Hey, God's going to make you better from your sickness." And Hezekiah says, "Well, I need a sign from God. I want to have a sign." So they talk about it and he said, "Well, there's a sundial. And should the sundial go down 10 degrees or should it go forward 10 degrees? Hezekiah says, "Well, it's not a big deal if it goes forward 10 degrees, right? But let God make that sundial go back 10 degrees. That's a difficult thing." And God made the sundial go back 10 degrees. What did he do? Now think about it. The earth goes around the sun once every 365 days. God stopped the earth and God rewinded it, and the sundial time went down by 40 minutes. God pays attention to time. The same God marks every idle word. Well, we got a lot more of those these days. We've kind of refined that now, haven't we? We've got new ways to spend idle words, haven't we? He says, "I'm keeping track of every idle word," in Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 36, "and you'll make an account for every idle word in the day of judgment." Oh, let thy words be few, right? God keeps track of every idle word. God's keeping track of every minute and every second. That same God knows every hair on our head. Luke chapter 12 and verse number 7. Now, some of us are trying to make that easier for him, right? And, but you know, the average redheads have like 80,000 hairs on their head. And I think blondes might have more, maybe less. Anyways, 120,000 hairs on the average head. Can you imagine that? And so God keeps track of everyone. What's God saying? He's saying, I'm interested in what's going on in your life. I'm interested in every little detail about your life. I'm interested in every thought that you have. You understand that our thoughts are far off from the time we wake up till the time we go to bed at night. God says, I'm interested in you. I love you. I care about you. I'm watching what's going on in your life. I'm paying attention to your words. I know what time it is. I know every second of your life. A new year is a great opportunity to take an inventory. You know, every year when I was a kid growing up, we take an inventory. My dad had a gas station in a garage and a tow truck. And every year, my mom and I would go out and we'd spend probably 2 days just counting everything that he had for tax purposes, right? I mean, we never got that new millionaire's tax that they came out with for Massachusetts. Isn't that a blessing, huh? We had to count all the oil, all the gallons and barrels of oil and all the quarts of oil and all the gasoline and the 10,000-gallon tanks and the 5,000-gallon tanks. I don't know, maybe there's 20,000-gallon tanks. I have a big, long pole we put down there. Every tire we had to keep track of, every gallon of antifreeze. And then my dad made keys. That was my job, to count the key blanks. 57,127, 57,000, what? Oh, where was I? And so I'd count all the key blanks on the whole key machine, all the ice cream in the refrigerator, all the soda. There's a reward for that, right? The workman is worthy of his hire, right? And so I'd get to enjoy that. And pizzas in the refrigerator, candy bars. And so we'd count everything, cough drops. I mean, we counted everything in inventory. And a new year is a good time to take an inventory of your life. And say, hey, where am I spiritually? Where am I with God? Let's see what's working well. Let's see what needs to be fixed in my life. We make New Year's resolutions, don't we? We say, I'm going to do this year. I heard a friend of mine, he said, I'm going to gain 20 pounds this year. And they said, why did you say you're going to gain 20 pounds? Because it says I'm going to lose 20 pounds, and instead I gain weight. So I'm going to gain 20 pounds, and I'll get that one wrong too. Amen? I don't know if it's going to work or not. But you start over in the new year with a new beginning. If we couldn't start out with a fresh start every once in a while, wouldn't we become frustrated? We'd get a little frustrated, right? We start out with a fresh start every January 1st. We get a new opportunity to live for God and to do some things differently, maybe improve some things. Hey, think about this. What did God say? Finish this for me. Thy mercies are new every morning, right? Great is thy faithfulness. God's mercies are new every morning. Every morning we get a new day to start over again. Hey, I'm going to serve God today. I'm going to get busy for God. I'm going to do better today. I'm going to get in my Bible today. I'm going to do what it says. Every week we get 7 new days. Every month we get 30 plus or minus days to start over again. Every year we get 365 days. In leap year we get an extra one. And so we have a chance to start over and begin again and get off on the right foot. Let's examine this in the light of January 1st, the little phrase in our text in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God, the rest of his time. I want us to get that in our mind today, the rest of his time. I want us to think about that this week, the rest of his time. I want to pin this in your mind. Let's think of a timeline of life. Think of a timeline. Okay, we have a starting point over here. We've got our life, however long it is. We've got an ending of our life here. We don't know when that is. But the Bible says we're given 70. How many years is that? 70. Now, we've improved on that a little bit, right? We exercise and we take vitamins and we, eat healthy and all those good. We've got to get back to that, right? Christmas is over. And now we got all that stuff at the house. I've got chocolate and I've got peanut brittle. I had peanut brittle. And I've got all kinds of good stuff. Cake and all kinds of stuff, right? But, you know, so we exercise. We try to, I'm going to push that 70 out a little bit, right? And we eat healthy and we push that 70 out a little bit. And the average lifespan goes up a little bit. And then, COVID comes and it goes down a little bit. And then, you know, we get all these fentanyl deaths and it's such a tragedy and it goes down. But with 70 years, let's just use that number. So I need some help with this message today, okay? All right. I need somebody who is close to 70 years old, all right? You can be, you can stand up for a little bit, okay? Just for a few minutes. Who can help me out with that? Somebody's close to 70 years old. All right, we got to go get some people. Go get somebody out off the street. Don't ruin my sermon, all right? Anybody over 70? All right, Brother Les, come here. You raised the life expectancy, all right? I'm not going to ask him how old he is. Come over here. All right. Brother Les, why don't you stand right here and face this way, all right? You're walking on your timeline, all right? You hit 70. You cheated it a little bit, all right? But you're right there, okay? Now I need somebody about 35 years old. Who is about 35 years old? Okay, Brother Phil, come here. Come here. All right, 35 years old. Right in the bottom in the middle of that, okay? So you stand right here, and you're going to face that way. Brother Les, you got to turn around and face that way, all right?
Old dog, new tricks, right? Okay. There you go. Face that way. There you go. If he turns around again, kick him. No, just don't. No, just encourage him, right? He's 30. Now, I need somebody about 17, 18 years old. 17 and a half, all right? That's the number I need. 17, 18 years old. Who can help me? Huh? All right, you just got nominated, Gio. Come on up here. Okay. He's right here. Okay? Now, you're right here and you're facing that way, okay? Now, I'm not going to get a baby, all right, because they're in the nursery and there should be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, all right? But you start your life out right here. Now, I want you to flip your bulletin on the backside. You got some place for notes, right? I want you to make a timeline for yourself, all right? Mine is August 6th, 1966. It's a good thing I wasn't born in June. Can you imagine that one? What's your birthday? 6666. I already got three sixes, right? I am the beast, all right? Just kidding, all right? So here we are, August 6th, 1966. That's my starting point, all right? Now, I've already gone past. How old are you? 16. 16, okay. Got my driver's license, been there, done that, all right? Got a motorcycle, been there, done that. All this stuff, right? Been there, 16, 18, all right? 20, went to college, got married right in here, right? Okay. 33 years of marriage, all right? You got a little ways to go. 35, I hit that. Well, midlife, all right? I got my car a couple years ago, but I waited. And now, you know what? I did the math this morning. Tom, I figured out I'm 80% done. Can you imagine that? I'm 56 years old. I divided that into 70. I came up with 80%. Man, I'm... You're knocking on the door, Brother Les, all right? I'm right behind you. I'm breathing down your neck, all right? We gotta keep pushing. Let's keep taking vitamins. Let's go to the gym, and let's eat healthy, all right? Brother Les, just give me some of those pills that you take when you eat that chocolate cake, all right? So don't tell. His wife is here, okay? But okay, so each one of us is somewhere, okay? I'm right here, 80% done with my life. If I live to be 70, I reached my expiration date, okay? My dad's 84. Now, he's in the hospital, but he'd be out here somewhere, okay? So good genes run in my family. My grandma's brother and sister are still alive. My grandma's brother and sister, they're like 90-something, okay? Still driving. No, one of them drives a car, I think, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, we'll fact check that. I don't know. Okay. But look, every one of us is somewhere on this timeline, okay? I want you to think about it. We're teenagers, you're here, right? You're here. You hope to get there someday, all right? Midlife. Okay, I don't want to say you're midlife, you're not old, okay? You're getting recycled, okay? But we're right here, 35 years old, 40 years old, 50 years old, 60 years old, old, all right? 70 years old, I love Brother Les, 80, whatever it is, all right? Where are you in life? Now, here's what the devil would like to get you to do. The devil would like to get you in your teenage years have something in your life that you regret. Maybe sin, maybe failures or whatever. And here you are as a teenager. And the devil says, hey, don't bother living for God. God can't use you. Look at the mess you made out of your life. All right, don't worry, we'll get him next, all right? Wait, look at the mess you made out of your life. You can't do anything for God. And he wants to keep you from living the rest of your time for the will of God. Do you see it in verse number 2? He wants to get you to say, you've messed up so bad, God can't even fix it. I mean, aren't you embarrassed? Aren't you embarrassed? Don't tell us, okay? Aren't you? What a mess. He didn't make a mess, all right? What a mess you made. But the devil wants to sneak up on your shoulder and say, it's not even worth trying. You'll never get over there doing the will of God. So just continue in your downward spiral and live to the flesh. Live to the, did you see it in verse number 2? That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men. Simply what you want to do with your life and what the devil wants to do and keep you busy from doing the will of God might not be a bad thing. Just what you want to do. Living for yourself. Hey, just go ahead and live for yourself. Eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow we die. And then maybe over here, he comes to this guy and he says, hey, listen, you were back here just a little bit, just a couple years ago. We heard your testimony, right? And you were backslidden. You told us you were backslidden. Look, he's turning red. He's backslidden, okay? And he says, look, I'm backslidden. You know what he did? He got up again. He drew a line. And he said, okay, I can't do anything about the past, but I can do everything about the rest of my time. Hey, listen, you got some You got some big responsibilities now. You got the rest of your time, all right? You're getting married. That's exciting, okay? The rest of your time, I want to hear that you live to the will of God, or I'm going to come and hunt you down, all right? And live for the will of God the rest of his time. But what if he said, hey, you know what? Forget about it. Turn around. Turn around. What if he said, how many years ago have you been here? 6 years?
About 6 years.
Can you imagine that? 6 years ago, he said, you know what? Forget about it. You know, you probably wouldn't be getting married this year. What a mess, right? What, should he turn around? What, you get, this is your chance. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. So the devil wants to come and say, hey, don't even try. Don't get back up. You fall, don't get back up. You're just living for yourself. Just go ahead and live for yourself. Don't live to the will of God. He wants to come to this guy over here and say, hey, don't live for the will of God the rest of your time. He wants to come to this guy here and says, hey, you don't have much time left. Sorry, you do. You do. You're going to live a long time, Brother Les. We're going to go to heaven in the rapture, amen? The rest of your time. He wants to come to this guy here and say, hey, listen, you can just check out now. You don't have any time. You got a lot of time left. You got a lot of people you can teach. You got a lot of souls to win still, Brother Les. You got a lot of work to do. Don't quit now. Keep chomping at the bit. Thank you. You guys can sit down. All right? Now, where are you in life? Thank you. Where are you in life? Do you find yourself here? You find yourself here? Do you find yourself here? And that guy's still got people ahead of him, right? 70, how many years young, right? He eats good, too. His wife is a mean cook. Now, think about this. If the devil can get you to hinder your future success in living for God by focusing on your past failures, he will destroy your future. Hey, when we all drive cars, right? When you get in that car and you strap that seatbelt on, and you turn that ignition, and you get going and drive, right? Or first gear, right? If you're right with God. First gear, second gear, third gear, fourth gear, right? And you start driving that car, and you have that mirror right here. And you look in that rearview mirror, and you look in that mirror, maybe that other side mirror, and you try to figure out who you just ran over, right? What that noise was, who fell out of the rumble seat. And you're looking at that, but most of your time is spent looking out the what? The windshield, right? Most of your time is spent looking on where you're going, not where you've been. You have to have that mirror. It's important to see what's alongside of you, to see where you've been. But you just glance at it once in a while. You know what the devil wants to do? He wants to keep you focused on the mirror so you run into what's right in front of you. He wants to keep you focused on the mirror so you crash into the will of God for the rest of your life. That's what he wants to do. Hey, January 1st, 2023, draw a line and say the rest of my time, I am going to live to the will of God and not to the lusts of men. Make up your mind. Devil would distract you today by discouraging you about yesterday. You know what? We've all fallen down somewhere short of glory. All of us have. We've all just fallen to different degrees. Keep getting back up. Satan doesn't want you to finish. He doesn't want the finished product. He doesn't want, well done, thou good and faithful servant, to be heard. He doesn't want you to finish well. Draw your timeline today. Hey, today is January 1st, 2023. I am 80% done with my life, but guess what? I've got 20% more to keep on going. And if the Lord adds to that, praise God. Maybe I'll get more. Scripture is filled with people who did not allow a bad start to become their biography. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Scripture is filled with people who had a bad first half and yet refused to let that define the rest of their lives. Scripture is filled with people who had a fall somewhere in their race, but they did not allow that fall to become the finish line. Hey, wherever you fell in that race, that's not your finish line. Get back up and say, this is my starting point for the rest of my time. This is my new starting line. This is where I'm going to begin again. This is a brand new start. This is January 1st. I'm going to live the rest of my time, not for the flesh, but to the will of God. Scripture is filled with people who had failure in the early chapters, who refused to let that become the conclusion of their biography. They refused to let the past ruin their future and the sins of this life to be their destiny and their memory in eternity. The judgments of man have come, but they refused to let that become the judgment seat of Christ.
Their scripture is filled with people whose lives have ashes of worldly endeavors, but they refuse to let them translate to ashes of eternal judgment. There are people in the Bible that made a waste of their life living for the flesh, but they did not allow that to displace living for the will of God for the rest of their time. Who were some of these people? Well, I'm glad you asked. You know what I called them? I called them early stumblers. Early stumblers. In the Bible, it's filled with people. God didn't just put perfect people in the Bible because only Jesus would be in there. But the Bible is filled with people that I'm going to call early stumblers who got up again and finished the race set before them. Oh, how we need to finish strong today. Who were these? Like the just man that falleth seven times, yet riseth up again. You're not finished when you fall. The devil would like to finish you off by keeping you from getting back up again and on your feet again. Get back on your feet and live for God the rest of your time to the will of God. How about Abraham? Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation, he had an incredible opportunity. God came to Abraham and he gave him a promise. In Genesis chapter 12, the first three verses. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Wow, that's an incredible promise. God made that promise to Abraham. And along his life, Abraham stumbled and fell and sinned. God promised Abraham that he would be the seed of a great nation would come from him as the stars of the heaven innumerable, as the sand you can't count. The Lord spoke to him and used him mightily, but he had a major disobedience and a major sin, and he fathered a child named Ishmael. It wasn't with his wife. Yet the Lord used him again. Now, I'm not advocating adultery. But when God came to Abraham again, he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, in Genesis 22 and verse number 1. God can choose to remember no more our sins and our iniquities. God can remove them as far as the east is from the west, Psalm 103 verse 12. And God can use us again. Thank God Abraham didn't finish his life when Ishmael was born and say, God can't use me anymore. God's done with me. Hey, it would have been easy for him to say that. I can't serve God anymore. God can't use me anymore. He could have believed that lie. Instead, he got back up again. David, the king, became an adulterer and a murderer. His wages of sin by his own judgment. As Nathan the prophet came to him in 2 Samuel chapter number 12. He shall restore fourfold. His own judgment included the death of a child. The reaping of rebellion in Absalom and Adonijah. The defilement of his daughter Tamar. And the murder of his own son Amnon. Yet the mercy of God put Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, in the house and lineage of David. The grace of God made David a man after God's own heart. Oh, his sin was horrible. His sin cost him dearly. His sin cost his family. His sin hurt. The grace of God made a sinner get right with God and get back on his feet and get busy for God for the rest of his time. You know, outside of the name of our Savior, the name David is the most mentioned name in the scripture. He didn't stop serving God after his sin. He got right with God, drew that line, and lived the rest of his time. Rahab, the harlot, in our Bible reading this morning, I read Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7, about God giving us the gift of life. And I read Matthew chapter number 1, two of those lives One was Rahab and one was Tamar. Women that had sin in their life. And yet they're in the genealogy of Christ. In spite of their sinful past, God had a bright plan for their future. God has a plan for your future. Well, I was here and I drew a line and I fell down again. Draw another line. I was here and I was walking through life and I got through time of my life, maybe, and I got back up again. And now here I am in the middle, and I fell down again. Get back up and draw another line. Here I am in my 40s, and I've failed, and I've struggled, and I haven't made it. Draw another line and start over again. I'm in my 50s. It's not too late. I'm in my 60s. It's never too late. Draw a line and start over again. How about Saul of Tarsus? You know what he said about himself? Look over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Uh-oh, that's the halfway mark of the sermon. Did you hear that? Somebody's timer went off. We're going to draw a line and start over again. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was, what's the next word? Before, a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul, the former Saul of Tarsus, he went from a blasphemer, from a persecutor, from injurious to a chosen vessel for God. Wow, I want to use them. Thank God, God used them. How rich are we because of the Apostle Paul? Most of the books of your New Testament, God used Paul to pen them down. He was the human instrument for 14 of them. Wow, thank God he got back up again. The book where our text is found, what's the name on top of that book? Peter. Hey, there's a first Peter, there's a second Peter. Well, I know. Hey, there was a first Peter before he denied Christ, right? There's a second Peter after he denied Christ. He got back up again. He went out, he wept bitterly. Peter, the man who denied Jesus. Peter, the man who they said, you're also one of them. Peter, the man who cursed and swore and denied the Savior and denied the church. Peter, what's the message that our Savior gave Peter? I like the message that he gave him. I want you to think about something. As Peter cursed and swore and denied the Lord, he said, I'll die with you. And after the third time, the rooster crows. Jesus looks at Peter, and Peter and Jesus see each other. He went out, he wept bitterly. Now our Savior has been crucified. All of his disciples forsook him and fled, and there's John only. After 3 days and three nights, the Bible says that Christ came out of the tomb. He rose from the grave. And as the angel is there and the stone gets rolled away to show that he's gone, he gives the angel a message, and the angel gives that message to three women, and they give that message to the disciples. And here's the message. Hey, Jesus said to the angel, hey, make sure you tell my disciples I rose from the grave. But if you forget anybody, don't forget to tell Peter. Why? Because Peter needs to be reminded. Peter, I love you. Peter, I still want to use you. Peter, get back up again. Peter, draw a line. Peter, get busy for God. Peter, the will of God is coming. Peter, there's coming a day where I'm going to need somebody to stand up in Acts chapter number 2 and preach a sermon at the day of Pentecost. And 3,000 people are going to get saved. And Peter, you're going to be that man. Peter, I need 1st and 2nd Peter to be written. And you're going to be that man. Peter, I need the first pope. Just kidding. Here's the message. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which is crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him, but go your way. Here's the message that Jesus gave the angel to give to the ladies, to give to the disciples. Go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter. Isn't that a little redundant? That he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said unto you. No, it's not redundant if you love giving people a second chance. No, it's not redundant if you like claiming the backslider. No, it's not redundant if you love the potential that somebody has after they sin and you want to see them get up again and serve God again. And that's our Savior. Tell the disciples and Peter, Peter, I love you. Peter, I want you back. Peter, I need you back in the work of God. Peter, the horse threw you off. You threw yourself off. Get back in the saddle. Oh, I wonder how many people today are defeated because they sin. The devil says, don't even get back up again. Don't even try. You made a mess out of your life. The Bible is filled with people just like that. And God used them again. Hebrews chapter number 11, that great chapter of faith, includes some people who I would say were early stumblers. Just think of some of them. We don't have time. Moses, Samson, Barak, Gideon, Jephthah. Jephthah, born of a harlot. Jephthah, thrown out by his brethren. Jephthah, he gathered vain men unto him and he became vain. And yet he's one of the judges in Israel. All of these flawed, all of these failures at first, but they drew a line. They got back up again. Don't let the failures of your life be written in concrete. I refuse to let the failures of my life be written in concrete. I'm going to draw a line. Today's January 1st. Some of you need to draw a line this morning in your Bible. Put that right in that text in your Bible, fooey on the bulletin. Put it right in your Bible next to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 2. Here's my birth date. Here's today, January 1st, 2023. I am going to live the rest of my time. How long is it? I don't know. You don't know. The Lord could come back. Wouldn't that be wonderful? We don't know. The paper is filled with obituaries today. People are dying today. We don't know. We could be next. But live the rest of your time. If it's one day, live it for God. If it's a week, live for God. If it's a month, live for God. If it's a year, if it's 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, live it for the will of God. Well, here's a good question. What is the will of God? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look at 2 Peter. We're in 1 Peter, right? Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. What is the will of God? That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Well, we better find out what the will of God is. The will of God is not spooky. It's not mysterious. It's not some apparition that you can't find. It's right here. 2 Peter 3, verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing. That's the will of God. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What is God's will? God's will is for every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl that ever has lived and ever will live to go to heaven someday. That's God's will. That's God's will for your life because you fit in that category. We're here. We're alive. God wants you to go to heaven someday. But your good works won't take you there. That baptistry won't take you there. This church won't take you there. Your whatever it is won't take you there. My whatever it is won't take you there. I can't take you there. Only one person can take you to heaven, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross in Jerusalem about 2,000 years ago. He always was. He always will be. He came in time, God in the flesh. He lived a perfect life. He never sinned. And he died in your place and in my place to pay for our sins that would keep us from going to heaven. And the price of our sin is hell, the lake of fire. Jesus Christ interjected himself in our place. And he offered himself the payment for our sin. And if we'll make that payment, our payment, and we'll come to Christ and say, I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. You are the only sinless one. Would you pay for my sin? I accept your payment as my payment. Save me from going to hell. Give me a home in heaven. He promised you would not perish, but you would have everlasting life. That's God's will for your life. God doesn't want one person to go to hell because hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't prepared for people. But many people are there today. And many people will be there. Make sure you're not one of them. God's will is that you go to heaven someday. God's will is that you find out how to trust Christ as your Savior and make him your Savior before you die. That's God's will. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. If you've never done that before January 1st, 2023, this would be a good time to do that. What's God's will? God's will is that you're saved from hell. God's will is that you go to heaven. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Have you come to repentance? Has there been a time where you were through that timeline of life on your way to a godless eternity in a Christless lake of fire called hell, and you said, you know, I can save myself. I can do this. My church can take me there. I've done catechism. I've done sacraments. I've done all these things. I've eaten all the cookies and drank all the wine, and I'm ready to go, and you're not ready to go. Because you've never come to Christ to save you and take you to heaven. You've got to turn around and say, you know what? I'm not trusting any of that. I'm trusting only Jesus Christ. He died for me. He shed his blood for me. He rose again for me. That's the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15. That's how we're saved. That's how we go to heaven. Well, I've never done that. We'll do that today. What a great way to start out the new year. Start out the new year with a new heart. Start out a new year being adopted into God's family. Start out a new year saved on your way to heaven in the Lamb's book of life. Wonderful way to start the new year. Here's the next thought. Romans chapter 8. What is God's will? God's will is that you go to heaven someday. Well, I've already got that settled. Okay? God has a will for you. After you trust Christ as your Savior. We could spend a lot of time on a lot of different verses. I'm just going to give you one. And then we're going to be through. Unless that timer goes off again. Then I'll preach tonight's sermon. Romans 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. God's will is that you go to heaven someday. If you're on your way to heaven today, God's will is that on your way to heaven, you would be like Christ. Oh, I've got a lot of work to do. I'm on my way to heaven, 1971. I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ way back there on that timeline. And that's been 51 years ago. Almost 52 now. I got to change that. And I've been walking on that timeline and that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, doing what I want to do, but to the will of God. Everything you do ought to be put through that filter. Am I conformed to the image of Christ? Is this thought making me more like Christ? This action? These words? Everything I do, am I more like Christ? That's the will of God. That I be conformed to the image of his Son. The closer we get to the end of the timeline, the more we ought to be like Christ. How's that working in your life? Maybe this year you need to say, you know what? I'm going to stop living for the flesh. I'm on my way to heaven, but I'm living in the flesh to the lusts of men. I am going to change some things to be more like Christ. To be like Jesus, that ought to be our goal. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Let's pray for